Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. It's the last verse in that chapter, Galatians 2, 21. It follows the very oft-quoted verse that we are crucified with Christ and concludes a great testimony that Paul has given, showing us that we are not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul says this. Keep your Bibles open. This is our text. It establishes our thought today, what we're going to do with the Scripture. But we need to go to other Scriptures. Keep your Bible open, and we will travel through the Bible this morning to learn about what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Notice what he said. I do not frustrate the grace of God. That's a tremendous statement. We'd like to talk about that more this morning. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. Father, we know the great power of this Scripture and the great power of this verse of Scripture, but we also know the weakness of this vessel here this morning, how terribly difficult it is for a man to preach the words of God and accomplish anything. In our own power, in our own being, in our own presence here, Father, we are not worthy, we're not capable. You said, without me, you can do nothing. And we know that to be true and believe it to be true. And these folks didn't gather here today for nothing. They came to hear from you, Father, and they can. They can, as you control this messenger, speak through my mouth, give me thoughts in my mind, Lord God, that are from you. If something comes to mind, Father, that's not from you, I pray, Lord, that you'll put it aside. Cleanse it in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow these folks to be edified. It may very well be in our midst today, Father, we have those that are not saved. I couldn't convince them that they're lost, and I couldn't save them once they're convinced. Your Holy Spirit certainly can bring that conviction. Your Holy Spirit can certainly bring that salvation. And we pray that you will deal with the hearts of men here today and women that are not saved, that they may turn to Jesus Christ and be saved. For we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said in Galatians 2:21 something we never want to forget. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, in this particular context, he's saying, I don't frustrate the grace of God because I'm not trying to make myself righteous by the law, which is something I couldn't do. I am righteous by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ in me. That's what he's saying. He's saying that to the Galatians because there were many of the Galatians who were looking to their ability to keep the law. They were looking to their own righteousness as something that they could present to God in order to pass the judgment of God. And I'm going to tell you something. This thought, not only in this context, reminds me we often frustrate the grace of God by trying to work out things in our lives that God has already taken care of. Not only in salvation, we'll certainly talk about salvation, but we need to keep our Bibles open and travel to a few other texts because I find that we often frustrate the grace of God by trying to do something that God has already taken care of in our lives and has already freely given us in our salvation. And we do this by trying to perfect something in us that God has already done. All right, first of all, and in the context, you frustrate the grace of God by trying to save yourself. Listen, you frustrate the grace of God by trying to save yourself. The Bible says we are saved by the grace of God. Turn with me to Ephesians. It's the next book. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verses 8 and 9. Very important. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Very important. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now today I'm talking to a lot of people that understand this verse, but there may be some of you in here, 2, 3, 4, whatever, I don't know, that do not understand completely what you've just read. Because if I were to ask you right now if you're saved, you would say something like, yes, I think I am, or I hope I am. And what you would be counting on is something, listen, that you have already done in your life. For instance, people will say, I was raised in a Christian home. I'm saved. I was baptized as an infant in a church. I have gone to this church and I did a confirmation. I try to do right by my fellow man. Second commandment says, love thy neighbor as thou love thyself. And you look at all those string of things and you say, yes, I believe that I'm saved because, you know, compared to everybody else in the world, I'm a good person. And you're evaluating that based upon what you have done and what you haven't done in your life. A lot of people evaluate their lives by the law and they'll say, well, I haven't killed anybody. When you ask them if they're saved. That's all you. This is all you. Okay, over here on this side of the pulpit. This is all you. You say, well, I know I did that in church. All you. You don't get saved by going to church any more than you become a hamburger by eating at McDonald's. It just doesn't happen. You understand? That's all you. Okay. I heard that just the other day. I had to repeat it. I really, really like that. Salvation is all God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How do you receive a gift? Somebody offers you something and says, here's a gift, and you take the gift, and it becomes yours. God has already worked out all that is necessary for your salvation. He has already done it. And when you look to what you have done or haven't done, you are frustrating the grace of God. He says, man, what are you trying to do, stupid? I've already done all that. It'd be like you saying, well, I'm going to build my house, and the house is already built. Just move in. We're born again by the power of God. You've got your Bible open. Go to the Gospel of John. Go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. You're born again. I could just quote all these for you and keep going. We're going to go through the diligent process of searching the Scriptures so you can see it for yourself. You are born again by the power of God. Watch it. John chapter 1, look at verse 12 and 13. All right, as many as received Him, that's Jesus Christ, to them gave He power. You don't have that power. He has to give you that power. Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So when you are born again, you are born again by the power of God. Now, may I ask you something? Were you born? I didn't ask you, were you born again? Were you born? Of course you were born. But if you were uncertain, there's a birth certificate somewhere around here for most of you. I don't know, Mr. Holder, do you have a birth certificate? I didn't know back then if they issued those. Yeah, you got a birth certificate around there that says this date, at this hour, by this mother, in this hospital, in this county, in this state. You got a birth certificate. If you were unsure, you could go back there and pull that record and go, I was born. How about that? Wow. And I asked you, I said, well, have you been born again? And you're like, I think so. Well, dude, come on. As they say. Listen. You may not, some people say, I can't remember the exact day or the exact hour, but I remember when. I remember when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That was a very profound day in my life. It was what the Bible calls my new birth in Christ. And you don't get that by going to church. You don't get that by, well, I was in the youth department at the Presbyterian Church or whatever, or the Catholic Church or the Episcopal Church, or the Lutheran Church, and all that stuff. That's all you and them and what y'all are doing. Over here is the power of God. Boom! You know? New child of God. That salvation, that being saved, happens by the power of God when you trust something that Jesus Christ has already done for you on Calvary. It has nothing to do with childhood baptism or sacraments or confessions or confirmations or attendance or memberships or any of that stuff. It has something to do with what a man did for you one day about 2,000 years ago that you cannot do for yourself. He died to pay for your sins. If you die to pay for your sins, it's over. He died to pay for your sins. He did that for you. And he says, I want you to receive that as a gift. If you want to be saved, then you have to trust Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, putting your faith in what he did, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you will trust what he's done, God will freely give you Jesus Christ. And other than that, you frustrate the grace of God. You get it? And Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Why? Because he said, I recognize that I'm going to trust him. Please understand this about Paul before we move on to the next thing. He was killing people, instructing people to be killed or arrested, and testifying against them for believing what I just told you. And he had a meeting with Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus and was convinced that he himself was wrong and that Jesus was right. And right there that day his life changed, and he went from trying to stop Christianity to promoting Christianity. Why? Because of the grace of God. Because of the grace of God. So you frustrate the grace of God by trying to save yourself. Forget all that you've done. It doesn't count as it concerns your salvation. The only thing that counts is what Jesus did for you and what you've done with that, whether you trusted him or not. You frustrate the grace of God by trying to save yourself. Secondly, you frustrate the grace of God by staying stuck in your sin. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You frustrate the grace of God by staying stuck in your sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verses 9 through 11. Know you not. That the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Watch it. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters. They worship false gods. Nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Watch it. And such were some of you, but you're washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That word in verse 11, the third word, were, is a very important word. Lately, because of our association with other churches, you know, pastors of other churches from pastor school, or association with on the internet, which is broadly being viewed now and by being on the radio and so forth, we come in contact with a lot of people who are not here today in this church building, who are not members of this church if they happen to not be here this morning. We come in contact with a lot of people outside of here who need help. And as a result, I have come into contact with a number of people who are stuck in their sin. By that I mean that they believe they're saved, and yet they believe that they are one of those things that are in that list. Sexual immorality seems to be one of the big things today because it is so widely broadcast in the law, in the courts, and in advertising and every other kind of thing. You have this very common philosophy today. For instance, people will say about homosexuality, as an example, they'll say, "I was born that way." So if they come to Christ, they want to continue to be what they were before they got saved, because they say, "This is who I am. This is what I am. And he said in this list, he said effeminate. He said abusers of themselves with mankind. And he said, and such were. Such were some of you. So when a person chooses to stay stuck in their sin, a drunkard, you know, I'm having a hard time with alcohol, or dope, and they've got a lot of that going on. Well, you know, I'm having a hard time with that. When they choose to stay stuck in that, you know what they're doing? You're frustrating the grace of God. You say, how is that? Because you have been sanctified by the Spirit of God. You have been sanctified. Listen, when you are sanctified by the Spirit of God, you are no longer what you were before you got saved. You are changed. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 17. This, you've got to get this. I'll talk with people and they say, you know, I'm really having a hard time. You know, I cussed a lot before I got saved. Now I'm saved and I'm still cussing a lot. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. All things are passed away. Behold, how many things are become new? All things. All things have become new. When someone is saved and they're in a sin that they cannot ever imagine changing, they're frustrating the grace of God. And that's particularly true of those sins that we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. You are not stuck. You say, well, yes, I am. You are, because you refuse to trust what the Spirit of God has freely done for you in Jesus Christ. He's over there looking. Here's God over here looking at you as a new creature, and you're over here wallowing around in the same stuff that you've always done, going, I don't know how to get out of this. And he's going, dummy, my Spirit has already fixed that. Just come over here and live what I have given you in the Spirit of God. Do you understand that I don't have the power of myself, in and of myself, to make the changes in my life that need to be changed to be pleasing to God? But the Spirit of God has all that power. In Galatians chapter 5, the Lord compares the works of the flesh, and there are all these things we just looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and then the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I don't have all that stuff, but the Spirit of God does. And the Lord says, you know, backs up the dump truck. Dump it on him. The fruit of the Spirit. And the guy's over here going, man, I just can't whip this. You're frustrating the grace of God. He's already made you a new creature. He already, by the Spirit of God, has sanctified you. He has given you what you need. Look with me in John chapter 8. I believe I understand why it is so that people stay stuck in their sin. You're sanctified by the Spirit of God. He's in there, but the problem is you refuse to believe what God just showed you in the truth applies to your life. John chapter 8, verse 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, is that verse true? They're all true. Look at the context, verse 31. Verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, if the truth says such were some of you, if you believe that to be so, he says, it'll make you free. You know why people are not free from those sins that they brought into their salvation experience that are still hampering them today? They don't believe that those verses which speak those things apply to them. And they do. So when you read the Bible and you say, well, that doesn't apply to me. You know what you've just done? You have just unplugged the electricity and turned off the light. and cut off the power of the Spirit of God to make the change in your life. You have to believe what he said. Let me show you one more verse on this so you really get it. Go all the way back to the back of your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. You've got to get this. This is so important. 2 Peter chapter 3. People say, well, that's just the way I am. God says, no, you're not. You choose to continue to stay there because you don't believe what I said. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 16. I guess we have to read verse 15 to get the proper context. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in his in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. So Peter's saying, Paul and I talk about the same stuff. In which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest. That means they twist them. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I know people, having, you know, being in the ministry, I know people that were, how did Brother Logan put it? Wicked. Wicked. And whatever sin comes to your mind, they were here. They got saved and then they believed exactly what this said. They didn't get led away with the error of the wicked. They believed what God said. And today, they are righteous. And they are so righteous, because they're not stuck in their sin, that if they told you, I used to do, or I used to be, your jaw would drop and say, that's impossible. And you know why? Because they're new creatures in Christ. And there are other people that I know who before they got saved were wicked. And you know what? Today, they are still wicked. And you know why? They're stuck in their sin. And over here they'll say, oh, I know, but that doesn't apply to me. No, God blesses me in my sin. They got this stuff so twisted up. They think they have license to commit the sins that God saved them from. And they have no enjoyment in their life as a new creature. You know why? They are stuck in their sin. Because they have frustrated the grace of God by refusing to believe what He said and refusing to believe what He gave them in the Spirit of God. If that's you, I'm going to tell you something. You're frustrating the grace of God. If you're here today and you are lost without Jesus Christ, you are frustrating the grace of God because He'll save you any day you'll receive Him. You say, well, I put that off. You don't understand the grace of God to say a thing like that. Somebody says, hey, you got the winning lottery ticket. You just won $50 million. You say, I'm not ready for that right now. No, I let me have that 20 years from now. I mean, I got some living to do first. You wouldn't do that. You'd be like, whoa! I just won $50 million. Let the government have their portion of the tax. I want every bit of it net. God comes along and says, I've just given you the grace of God to save your soul from hell and give you everlasting life. You say, not right now. Not right now. And I'm going to tell you, salvation is better than the $50 million. Amen. You're frustrating the grace of God, man. You're frustrating the grace of God when you put that off. You're frustrating the grace of God when you say, yeah, but I just can't get out of this. Yes, you can. You won't. He's already taken care of it in the Scripture. He's already taken care of it by the Spirit of God. But that's not all. You frustrate the grace of God, thirdly, by exhausting your conscience. By exhausting your conscience. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. You're close to Hebrews now. If you just go back a little bit to the left, you get to a 13 chapter book called Hebrews, and in chapter 9, verse 14, you got to get this. By exhausting your conscience. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ... Do you know what kind of blood that was, by the way? The Bible says that was God's blood. He, the church of God, over which he hath made you to be overseers, and which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's God's blood, okay? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, watch it, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know what some people do? They exhaust their conscience. What do you mean? Well, they get saved, thank God, so they're no longer frustrating the grace of God there. They even said, I want that. I am going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Boom, got it. They used to be committing all these wicked sins. Praise God. They are now a new creature in Christ. I am in righteousness, not in wickedness. And they spend their whole life going, man, I sure screwed up back then. What a wreck. That was awful. I don't know why I did that. I can't get along and blah, blah, blah. And just working your conscience overtime. And of course, since that's the way it was, you're going over here, still making mess out of things back here. All you got to look at is just, how wicked everything was back then. You know something I'm going to tell you? You cannot scrub and rub and fret with your conscience and clean it up. You can scrub it all you want to. You can rub it all you want to. You can say all you want to. You can read about it all you want to. You can do everything you possibly can. You will never clear your conscience completely. Because all that you have in your power is not of the grace of God and will not deal with that. People get over here and they're like righteous, but they're bitter. They're bitter about something that happened back there. That happened, listen, may I tell you something? That happened when you were an old creature. That happened when you were a sinner without Christ. Now you're over here and you're saved and you keep looking back over there. You know, man, blah, 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 and this didn't work out and that didn't work out and they did this to me and that did that to me. And you're stuck over there and you are working your conscience overtime. Or, you can just come right here and say, you know what I'm going to do? I am just going to let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me and purge my conscience from dead works and stop right here and say it doesn't make any difference because as far as God's record book is concerned, that never happened. He chose to forget it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the past. You can truly move on. Now listen, you say, yeah, but you don't understand. The person who was involved in this still wants to hold that in their memory. Great. If they want to hold that in their memory, let them hold that in their memory all they want to. God didn't hold it in his memory, and because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to hold it in your memory. It doesn't make you a better Christian because you just keep saying how bad that was. Everybody knows how bad that was. God knew how bad that was. If it wasn't that bad, he wouldn't have sent his son down here to die for it. If the Lord has chosen to forget it, why exhaust your conscience over what happened? But I'll tell you what, man, there are people who just wear themselves out thinking, somehow I'm going to be a better Christian if I can just get myself over all that stuff. Jesus' blood took care of it. It's gone. And that was given to you by the grace of God. I don't know about you, but I have just come to a place in my life where it is just too much effort to deal with an overly sensitive conscience. Just wear you out, man. You frustrate the grace of God by trying to save yourself. You frustrate the grace of God by staying stuck in your sin. You frustrate the grace of God by exhausting your conscience. I'll tell you, and what's very akin to this is you frustrate the grace of God by trying to do right. Let me put it in the right context. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. We looked at this in Sunday school this morning. Please don't misunderstand me. Living in righteousness is certainly the right thing, but I said you frustrate yourself by trying to do right or trying to do righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, we were all condemned. Even so by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So as the one sin of Adam condemned everybody, the one death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is enough to save everybody. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man, watch it, shall many be made righteous. Made righteous. Listen, if you can get this, I believe you can. Listen to it, process it, absorb it, digest it, live by it. Our righteousness is not measured by how good you are. Your righteousness is not measured by how good you are. Your righteousness is measured by how good Jesus is. And if you've got His righteousness, you got more righteousness than you will ever muster in a lifetime of trying. And people really get frustrated when they know they should be perfect and they're not. I should have done better than that. Well, you didn't. I ought to be better than this. Well, you're not. Oh, the harder I try, it seems like the further I get behind, and the more that I get to know about Jesus, the wickeder I find myself. That's frustrating. Why would anybody want to keep reading the Bible if all they do is just beat themselves down into the ground like driving a T-post? Poom, 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 poom. You give up. You're like, man, my head's pounding. I'm getting deeper. Well, no wonder you're frustrated in the grace of God. You're trying to be as good as you think Jesus Christ wants you to be. And the more you try to be that good, the more you find out you're not good enough. And not only are you frustrating yourself, but you're critical of everybody else. Well, he's not any better than I am. Matter of fact, he's wickeder. See, you get judgmental and condescending and irritated. Listen, you will never be on your own as good as Jesus Christ. But may I tell you something? By the grace of God, you're already as good as Jesus Christ. You say, well, no, I'm not. Okay, so you're right, but I don't produce righteousness. Just ask my wife. She's put up with this for just about 36 years, and she will tell you, I'm not going to give her the microphone, that dude cannot produce righteousness. He gets it wrong every single time. Do I beat myself up about it? No. Used to, until I realized this. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is in here. All I got to do is yield. Put it on autopilot. Let's go, Lord. He doesn't mess up. If you will yield to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him live with His righteousness in you, you will find that He can do things in righteousness you could never do when you were trying to impress Him with yours. You're frustrating the grace of God. He's already given you Christ's righteousness, and He doesn't take it back at night when you're asleep. See how you do today. I'm so trying so hard to please God. Listen, Jesus Christ pleases God. And I promise you, if you yield to His righteousness in you, and if you obey Him, He'll grow you up in righteousness. You say, I just didn't do very good. I don't think I'm as good as I ought to be. Maybe not yet. But if you recognize that you have Christ's righteousness and you don't frustrate the grace of God, you get down the road about a year from now and look back and say, you know what? I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I am not what I was. I'm a work in progress. And that's okay. He's the potter, we're the clay. Let Him deal with it. Otherwise, you frustrate the grace of God. Christianity, when I first got saved, Christianity to me started out to be kind of fun because of the fellowship and all that kind of stuff, but it got to be a burden. It was like paddling a boat with the anchor. But I can't.
I'm so tired of trying to do right all the time. I'm just driving myself until I'm cut the stinking anchor. Let's just go sin. Man, I mean, boy, when I cut that anchor, I jumped in there and I said, woohoo, yeah. And then I'm like, ooh, this is nasty. This is the wrong place to be. And what you do is you pull that anchor and get a little trolling motor and you turn that thing on and then you go in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And next thing you know, you're puttering right along where you ought to be. He knows you're not perfect, but he knows his son is. And he just wants you to take your hands off of it and let him run it. Let him run it. I kind of jumped one right over the other, but I'll give you this last one. They go so much together, but you frustrate the grace of God by trying to live clean. When I talk about His righteousness, it has to do with the current thing of doing right, but go with me to John chapter 15. This is a little bit different than the other point, and you'll see why. John chapter 15, verse 3. Now you're clean. He didn't say you will be clean. He said, right now, you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. That's what he said. You are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. He says in Ephesians chapter 5 that he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, with the washing of water by the word. I'll tell you something else God gave you by his grace. He gave you this book. And there are a lot of good things about this Bible, but I'm going to tell you something. May I tell you something? You're going to mess up today. You are. You're going to mess up today. It's okay. You can nod. I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you the truth. You're going to mess up each day. And the Lord has given you the Bible to clean you up every time you mess up. And listen, when He has cleaned you up with the Bible, now you are clean. Did any of y'all do any physical work at all this week? Walking, exercising, mowing the grass, messing with horses, building, anything, passing out some tracts yesterday, anything that caused you to draw a sweat? Huh? Yeah, most of you are nodding your head. You nasty, nasty, horrible thing. Why did you smell like that? Why did you get that filthy? You say, well, that's what happens when you live down here. That's right. And what did you do about it? Thank God you took a bath. Maybe the person you're sitting next to needs this message. Or you took a shower, right? And guess what? When you came out of that shower or that bath, you were clean. And you know something, but between now and next Sunday, get this, you're going to need another shower. You hear me? Please take it. Saturday night or Sunday morning, you're going to need the shower. Why? Because when you live down here in South Texas where it's humid and hot, you sweat. And when you sweat, you stink. Nasty thing, you. Well, do you beat yourself up because there's an odor that comes out of your pores when you sweat? I hadn't seen it yet because everybody understands that's what happened to you. You know, right before this verse of Scripture we read here, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Why? Because when you walk around in sandals on dirt roads, your feet get dirty. And you know what you need to do to your feet every once in a while when they get dirty? You got to clean them. And the Lord humbled Himself and cleaned His disciples' feet. You know, you wore some clothes when you got stinky. How about those? Did they stink? Or did you just hang them on the hanger and say, whoo, put these on again? They don't even need to be ironed. No, you wash them too. Why? Because clothes that you wear when you get stinky stink. Am I right? Or, you know, are we all tracking here? May I tell you something? Listen, when you live down here, You stink.
Amen.
Amen. You're a stinker. And God has given you the Word of God to clean you up. So why would you sit there and go, I stink again. I always seem to stink. Well, you do because you're a stinker. And so you say, well, what do I need to do about that? The same thing we all do. Read the Bible. How long? Till you don't stink anymore. And then you're clean. And you go on about your day and you wake up in the morning and you go, ooh, I guess I better read the Bible. That's natural. That's Christian life. Why do people want to swim and go, I'm just not one? You're frustrating the grace of God. He gave you the Word of God. And He knows how it goes down here. He showed the disciples, I got to wash your feet. So get some cleaning in the Word of God. We all want to be able to hang our gold star up and put it up there and say, look everybody, I am perfectly righteous, I am perfectly clean, I am sanctified. But sin still lives in us. But so does the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Sin still lives in us, but so does the Spirit of God. Well, sin still lives in us, but so does the Word of God. You are sanctified by the Spirit of God. You are righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are clean by the Word of God. Isn't that good enough for you? It's good enough for God. You say, well, no, it's got to be better than that. Well, then you're frustrating the grace of God. You're wallowing in something. God said, I gave you my Spirit. I gave you my Son. I gave you His blood. I gave you my Word. And that's not good enough for you. It's good enough for me. Oh, well, if it's good enough for you, I guess I'll just believe it and let it be. Good enough for me. I'm a new creature. In Christ, I'm righteous. I don't have to pretend to be righteous. I don't have to impress people with my righteousness. I've got righteousness. I know I messed up, but woohoo, blood of Jesus Christ, that's done. And the precious, precious, precious words of God. You smell them pretty good, stinker. It's good enough for God. Why can't it be good enough for you? Now listen. Listen. I am confident that you don't need to stay stuck in your sin. Spirit of God already took care of that. I am confident you don't have to dwell on your past. That is done. Your conscience is clear by the blood of Christ. I am confident that however you messed up yesterday, you've been under the preaching of the Word of God. God's given you a babo bath in the Bible. A babo Bible bath. You are a new creature every single day. Listen, you are a new creature, and this is a new day. So get on with that. And then I'll say to you, I'm confident there are people here today who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You've convinced yourself you do. You don't. You're acting like you do. You haven't. Maybe you thought you were and you now know you're not. I don't know how you got to the place where you thought you did, but if God knows you're not saved, then you're not saved whether you think you are or not. And if you're not saved, if you have not been born again, you're frustrating the grace of God to hear this kind of preaching and say, I think I'll just pick up my lottery winnings when I retire. Frustrating the grace of God. Why don't you get saved today? Be a new creature. Live in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Have a clean conscience. Let His righteousness change you. You say, well, I don't know, but I kind of like my sin. Well, you're looking at it from the perspective of somebody who's never been righteous. When you're already righteous, you're like, why would I want to go back to that? Man, this is so much better. Get saved. Trust Christ. Quit frustrating His grace. And may God help when you do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for a good look in the Bible. I pray that you've really helped our folks and just you certainly encouraged me with all of this. I'm so thankful, Father, for your Spirit and your blood and your Son and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary and the Word of God and this beautiful, beautiful sanctification. It's wonderful. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us, Father. We've got people stuck in sin. They don't need to be there anymore. Stuck in the past. Don't need to be there anymore. upset with themselves because they had a little failure yesterday, don't need to be there anymore, and people today not saved. I pray, Father, that you will save lost souls today. Now, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I got to ask you this. Are you here today without Christ? That's such a simple question. You either got him or you don't. Watch this. I'll show you how simple it is. Are you here today and you've already got Jesus Christ as your Savior and you know it? Raise your hand. See how easy that was? Now put your hands back down. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. You know what that means? I mean, I ask it that way because you're like, well, I don't. Now it's out. The bag. You couldn't raise your hand because you know in your heart, I'm not saved. So it's a simple question. Would you like the grace of God to save you today? Would you like Jesus Christ to save you today? He can do it. He will do it if you'll trust him. Anybody here today that just want to slip it, raise your hand up right now and put it right back down and say, you know what? That's a good idea. I want to be saved today. Thank you. I see that. I see both of those. Thank you, sir. Now, that's courage. I say that because these days people get nervous about being in church. It takes a man or a real woman these days to be able to say, you know what? You're talking to me. Now, that's two people that raise their hands and say, yes, I want Jesus Christ today. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see that. Thank you, ma'am. Father, thank you for these that have raised their hands today. Help us as we give them instruction in this invitation how to respond. Now, let me just mention this to you. If you've raised your hand here today to receive Jesus Christ, here's what to do. This is so simple. We're going to stand here in just a minute. Our song leader is going to open the hymn books. We're going to sing a hymn. You don't bother with the hymn book. You need Jesus. You don't need to sing right now. Just get with him. Or y'all go to my office. Randy, you can take this fellow over here and he can go with you to your office. Maureen, you can take her and go to Tony's office. And y'all just sit down. They're going to open the Bible. You've already heard the gospel. They'll show you how to receive Jesus Christ. And you go ahead and receive. Go ahead. Y'all can go right now. You don't even have to worry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yep, that's good. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray for you while you go. Father, there are three folks just walking out the door here to go to these various offices. Sit down, open that Bible, and be sure how to be saved. I'm just brought to tears thinking about this right now. Oh, God, that's such a wonderful thing. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help each person dealing with each person to be able to show them clearly how to receive Christ. And may they truly, without ever having reservation, receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again today by your Spirit. But we ask you to do these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.